ladies, gentlemen, Gothamites from all over the multiverse to another episode of I Am the Knight, the weekly podcast that breaks down every episode of Batman the Animated Series. But you may see a different face than you're used to, but that's because my cub Adam is off in Bloodhaven trying to stop Deathstroke and Heartless from joining forces. But with me now is my other partner in crime, my amazing assistant editor at Dark Knight News, the awesome James Attias. Welcome to I Am the Knight, James. Yeah, I said welcome. Welcome to I Am the Knight.
Lovely to be here.
Let's talk Batman. This is episode 12 of season 3 and episode 91. We're approaching the 100 mark very quickly. Episode 91 of I Am the Knight. This is written by Paul Dini and directed by Yuichiro Yano. Now, James, I have to say you hyped this episode up because obviously you've managed to see season 3. By the time it aired here, Adam was older and we didn't get to see it. So I'm actually watching season 3 for the very first time. So I've never seen this before. So I was thinking, oh, James, please. You didn't spoil it too much, thank goodness. But what an episode, right?
I was going to say, like, can you blame me for not assuming that you've seen, watched and read every single Batman thing just like me as well?
Nope.
But yeah, like, I knew this was a popular, this is my second favorite episode of all time.
It's up there for me on first viewing. Definitely up there for me.
So yeah, as soon as you were like, oh, let's talk about Over the Edge, I was like, yeah.
And yeah, aptly titled.
And as soon as you see who wrote it, Paul Dini, you know, all right, I'm in. Stop right there. I'm in.
Just seeing his name, actually, it's like almost guaranteed that you're going to get a cracker of an episode, isn't it?
Comic seal of approval, isn't it?
Oh, better than the comics code, though, because this one was dark. I mean, tell me if you agree. I mean, from the beginning, what we see is the Over the Edge title card panning down into the Batcave and Bruce and Tim, Batman and Robin, running from gunfire. I think, whoa, someone's got into the Batcave. And then, who is it that's chasing them?
You see, it's the GCPD. Gordon.
In the Batcave.
Everyone. And do you know what the first thing that Gordon says?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I had to stop and rewind it. I thought, whoa, whoa, whoa. The first thing he says is, Bruce Wayne, stop where you are. I'm thinking,
that's it. Eh,
what? Who, where, the what? Now, I got year one flashbacks. It was like, what the hell is going on?
It catches you off guard. It catches you straight away, doesn't it?
Big style. Big style. I mean, obviously, this is, what, third, fourth viewing for yourself at least?
Oh, yeah.
So how did you feel the first time you saw it? Because it just, like, kicked me straight in the gut.
Well, I think first time I saw it, I would have been really young. And I would have been like, what? And my immediate thought was like, have I missed an episode?
Yes.
Yeah. Watching them in the UK, you're like, oh, there's episode one. Oh, and there's the season finale. And there's the middle.
Yeah.
And so I was like, have I missed an episode? Like, I feel like I've missed a huge plot point here, but no, I trust I'll watch it and I'll be like, all right, the me now, if I saw this, I'd be like, I've missed an episode, I've skipped one. But back then I was like, no, trust it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like you said, as soon as you pull Dini's name, you think, well, he knows what he's doing. And I thought, yeah, we come in the middle, we are going to find out, please God, let's find out
how
quite soon what's going on. I mean, let's give the viewers and listeners a bit of an update. So, yeah, Bruce and Tim are on the run from the GCPD in the cave. The escape is phenomenal and harrowing because poor old Alfred jumps into the line of fire to protect Bruce and Tim. I mean, that already, again.
One thing I loved about it is, and this was probably second or third viewing for me, it's when they're running and the police are firing machine guns.
Mm-hmm.
Batter the case that has Robin's costume.
Yes.
And the costume color scheme is from the original animated series.
Yeah.
There's an episode where we get to see what it would have looked like in the new Batman Adventures, which I won't go into because obviously it's on you. But that color scheme, seeing it immediately, you're like, whoa. Okay. That's the old Robin costume being shot to pieces. And you've got Batman and Robin running from the police in their own cave with what looks to be nowhere to go.
Yeah. No way out. But I'm really glad you brought that up, because to me, Adam and I have been talking since season three started and the introduction of Tim, who's a really brilliant amalgamation of the streetwise Jason Todd and the comic book Tim Drake. We said, obviously now, like you said, with the Batman The Adventures Continue comic in particular, we found out that Jason Todd did exist in this universe. Is that Jason Todd's costume in the cave getting shot up the way, same way that he always displayed it in the comics when the Joker killed our Jason Todd?
Something I've just thought of. Usually in Batman Beyond and the new Batman Adventures, you see Batman's costume, you see Tim Drake's Robin costume, Batgirl, Nightwing. That's a different case.
Yeah.
And makes me think that, like, was something that happened here, has that influenced, like, instead of just having the one case with old Robin's costume, now maybe that's how you change it up. Like, is it Jason Todd's costume? Is it Dick Grayson's costume? That's the question. I think from memory, Jason Todd's costume was slightly different, just slightly. So I think it's Dick's costume.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm glad you brought up the whole Batman Beyond thing as well, because there's a brilliant book out there called Batman Animated by Chip Kidd and either Paul Dini and Bruce Timm. And literally two or three episodes into this final season, Warner Brothers said, we want to shake things up, give us a new Batman. And they started planning Batman Beyond. But as you know, with Paul Dini, he's got a whole universe in his head. Everything that happens in this show and Justice League and Superman, it's all one cohesive universe. So the fact that you brilliantly brought up, thanks, James, that's why I love talking to you. You are a nerd of supreme standards. That whole thing of one case means that at some point between now and the future, the whole Jason Todd thing is resolved. And the fact that Paul Dini is one of the main writers, along with Alan Burnett from the animated series, on The Adventures Continue means that they are continuing that universe, and it's great.
I'll go one further now. If I've spoken about the animated universe, it's the template that James Gunn and Peter Safran could take. And I don't think there
should be
one single complaint. Like, yep, that's it. So you start with your Batman and your Superman, then you have your Justice League, and then you just expand, and it's just masterpiece.
Faultless. I mean, I was worried going to season three, I'd never seen it before, and with the new designs and everything, but I was glad to be wrong.
The only thing that ever bugged me about the new designs was that I had to get new action figures that didn't go well together.
You were, like, bothered by that.
I've got a new Robin with an old Batman, and I need to either have the old Robin and the new Batman, and it just anarchy. Safe to say that I did end up getting all of them, but
yes. As you do. Standard, isn't it? It's only right. Yeah. That's the law. You get arrested for some countries for less than that. But let's get back to the episode at hand. And I mean, like you say, it's a gut punch. This is an emotional powerhouse of an episode. I mean, when Bruce and Tim finally escape, thanks to good old Dick Grayson, Nightwing turns up on his bat jet skiers.
Oh, the wonderful Nightwing theme playing.
Yeah. Shirley Walker.
Oh, she's the best. The greatest.
Oh, I mean, the fact that a new score for every episode, that's never been done in animation before.
I have the score on iTunes, and it breaks my heart that they haven't added the new Batman Adventures to iTunes, because I want that Nightwing theme.
Yeah.
I want to be reading the Nightwing series, old Tom Taylor, and I want to be listening to Nightwing's theme just in my ear.
That sounds like heaven to me, mate. Oh, absolutely. And there he is, larger than life, the original sidekick saving his friends. And when they get to that run-down former Batcave or whatever it is, or maybe one of Nightwing's Batcycle garages.
Something, yeah.
And we get the story. And, mate, when you saw Barbara's demise, I mean, that just, like, what the hell is going on?
I was going to say, we're both acting too happy because we're just so thrilled to be talking to each other. Like, but this is a tearjerker episode.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Just going back to when you mentioned Alfred jumping in the line of fire.
Yeah.
The police grab Alfred. And this part gets me every time. They put his hands behind his back, they're cuffing him. And you hear Alfred go, ah. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Don't hurt Alfred. You don't hurt Alfred. That part. And just gets me every time. And then in the bunker, when, like, Bruce is about to tell the story to Nightwing about what happened, it's like he's a broken man again. Like, he says
Totally. Like,
I can see it as clearly as my parents' murder.
Yeah.
And you're like,
and oh, that's the first time that's ever been categorically stated as fact. You've seen little hints of it.
Yeah.
That's, oh, dude.
Because you know that Bruce has now added this to his list of failures, mm-hmm. and he's a broken man.
Yeah. Completely.
And when, so we're now, he's telling the story, we're finding out what's happening. Oh, there's just so much to get excited about. We see this is the first look at new Scarecrow, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, like a gravedigger, noose around his neck. He's terrifying. In the original series, he was kind of in his red, and he was voiced by a different actor. In this one, I don't think he laughs, but you don't get his voice. But the laugh is just terrifying.
And the design, I mean. I've got to say that visually, as well as in terms of writing, this episode was just, it was like a Hollywood blockbuster. The action is nonstop, but then you get that sudden emotional dip in the middle, which heightens the action, because you think, how'd this happen? And Jim, to turn against Batman that way. But of course, when you find out why,
yep,
perfect sense.
Oh. And, it's such a good setup, because you have Batman, Robin, Batgirl. And back in those days, this was the closest thing you got to a Bat family. Like when you're kids at my age, 90s, because like you've seen Batman and Robin, mm-hmm. with George Clooney and people like that. And you're like,
oh, joy.
Batman, Robin and Batgirl is the Bat family you want.
Yeah.
And you see them fighting, like beating up henchmen and goons. And then they're like, Bruce says like, well, me and Robin stayed to polish off the goons. Barbara chased after Scarecrow. And you're like, this is it. This is what you want.
Yeah.
Like.
Until it isn't.
Until it isn't. You see
until it really
sneaking
isn't.
Up on him. And all of a sudden, everything goes wrong.
Yeah. And wow. I mean, spoiler alert, people, if you have not seen this episode, pause this podcast right now or stop it. Watch this episode, because honestly, it is 10 out of 10, without a doubt. But we are going to obviously tell you the ending and what really happens. Because obviously what happens next is Barbara goes quite aptly over the edge.
Yep. Scarecrow puts his costume up. She jumps, not him. He sneaks up behind her, clobbers her over the head, gives her an almighty whack. And she falls off what looks to be the top floor of a skyscraper, all the way down to on the front of her own dad's police car.
Yeah, to make matters worse. I mean, the fall's bad enough, but man.
That's it.
Yeah.
Skyscraper fall, and she's still, you can hear her clinging on to dear life. Gordon gets out of the car to help Batgirl, and what does he find? She his utters baby. One word. Dad.
And I've got to give it, I mean, we say it every week, you know, because even though this is your first appearance on the show, you listen to it. Thank you. The voice performances in this episode. Bob Hastings, arguably his finest hour as Jim Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
And Tara Strong, Tara Charandoff back in these days. Yeah. That little line, just the way she enunciates Dad, I mean, it pulled at my heartstrings. It was powerful.
And Bob Hastings, Gordon, as soon as that scene is over and he puts her down, change man.
Yeah.
Not the jolly Jim Gordon that you're used to. He is, and he says to Batman, he says she was my daughter. Mm-hmm. And Batman grapples down, obviously, because he's finished with the Scarecrow goons. And then he sees, he knows. And for animation with a Batman mask, it's quite hard to show.
Yeah.
So all he's got is his eyes, and you see them squint like, this is it.
So good. So good. I'm glad you brought that up, because I did want to ask as well that obviously Jim Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, detective. Now, even before he phones Bruce, he tells Bullock he knows what he's going to do.
Yep.
I've always maintained that there's always little been hints of it in the comics that Jim's known who Batman is from day one. Would you agree with that?
I think my first interaction with that was in Hush. I was looking for a reason to bring up my favorite book. Yeah. It's when
Fine by Me, I love it too.
When Bruce is narrating and he says about how good a reporter Perry White is, that he must know who Superman is. And then he says, that reminds me of how good a detective Jim Gordon is. And that's it. If you've been working with someone for all that time.
Oh, yes.
And in the animated series, in Holiday Nights, they meet up every New Year's Eve and have a cup of Joe together.
That was so good.
Yep. Yeah, I think he knows. But I think that he knows to the point where when you're having an argument with someone and you know you're right, and the definitive point is, I'm going to Google it. He knows to the point where if he Googles it, he'd find out, but he doesn't need to.
No, he just goes on Barbara's computer. The fountain of all knowledge, Oracle herself. Yeah, totally. But then it's casting your mind back. I know you've read it because you are the most well-read Batman fan I know. Do you remember Contagion?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a scene in that where Batman and Jim are breaking into the Babylon Towers.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim says to Batman, your childhood must have been interesting or something, or maybe it wasn't. And it's like, you know, maybe your childhood didn't afford you time for something or other that was nice. And then I thought, yeah, he knows. He totally knows. He might not know definitively, but he's worked it out. And do you think that goes all the way back to year one and saving baby James and saying, I'm blind without my glasses. It can't be that
blind without my glasses. That's it. Year one. That's one of those things where you wear glasses and I've had trouble seeing in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be able to tell. You'd be able to tell. And because he met Bruce Wayne, how many weeks before when he had the cast on his leg? So you'd be able to tell. I think he's known from the start.
So you wrote great stuff. I'm justified then, because if you agree with it, then I'm closer to being right. Sometimes I don't trust my judgment. But again, I mean, it's blow after blow, because first you see Bruce and Tim attacked in the Batcave. Jim shouting out Bruce Wayne. Alfred jumping in.
Cops blowing Batmobiles with
bazooka. Yeah, dude, what the hell? And then when Dick gets caught, I'm thinking, no.
You think, like, I think it's Robin. Robin says, what do we do now? We're going to go and bust out Alfred, or what are we going to do? And Bruce just, he points, we stay underground. Yeah. We just sit here and do nothing. And then Dick says, I can get supplies from my loft, everything we'll need. And who's waiting for him? Montoya, GCPD, everyone surrounded. And you're just like, oh, no, this is going from bad to worse.
Yeah. Yep. And it's amazing that they can fit so much in. Again, we repeat ourselves so often on this show that they can fit so much story in 20 minutes of TV, and it doesn't feel rushed. It doesn't feel shoehorned in. The pacing is just perfect.
Like Dick Grayson, you have the right to remain silent. Yeah. Wait. And then there's the fight, and then all of a sudden there's a huge police helicopter with a Gatling gun on it, and you're like, oh, no. And then all of a sudden, you're being reported he's in custody.
Mm.
Like, that's it. Dick's out of the equation.
Yeah. And thank goodness he's in custody, because when that Gatling gun came out, I thought, no.
Not him.
Don't riddle Dick Grayson.
And you, you've got Jack Ryder reporting the news on it as well, which is a new one.
Well, that's it, because Adam and I have been saying that he's making more and more appearances. This has to be leading to an appearance of the Creeper. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. Haven't seen it yet. It's got to know. You don't introduce Jack Ryder and not have the Creeper appear at some point. But it's nuts. But it's lovely again to see the slight bits of humour as well. And then that whole scene in the talk show where they're bringing in Riddler and Mad Hatter and Harley, and it's all the actual proper voices: Eileen Sorkin, Henry Silver, Ronnie McDowell. Yeah,
not John Glover.
No, he's not credited the Riddler in this episode. I tried to work out who it was, but he wasn't credited.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but then you've got Harley Quinn, you've got Mad Hatter having little cameos, and I'll come back to something about those two later on when we get
when we do to our main takeaways from the episode. Okay, well, let's do that, because obviously I don't have whole bunch of casting research for this episode, because it's nearly all existing characters, brilliant performances for anyone we're used to. So let's do it now. What were your main takeaways from the absolutely brilliant Over the Edge?
I thought it was an amazing episode. Perfect, like, pacing, the animation, the voice acting, like, flawless on all levels. And I was just about to say the only thing that was missing was a cameo of sorts, because I know what my favorite episode is. It's Beware the Grey Ghost. But, oh, but this so had good. Plenty of cameos too.
Yeah, like, and great ones.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I've got a couple.
Okay.
The first is, and you mentioned it, and it's great the way our minds think alike, that switch with Jim. The way he goes from the lovable, affable, brilliant cop, but good person as Jim Gordon, into a machine of vengeance. And do you not feel as well that that is almost like his Batman moment, his moment of utter horror, the death of his loved one, and becoming a darker creature of the night? I just thought that parallel was absolutely fantastic.
I've never thought about that as like his Batman moment. That's a great observation. Like, you see the flip and you're like, okay. And as a kid, you're like, no, he's blaming Batman. It wasn't Batman's fault. Like, he didn't do it. And Bullock, who turns around and says, "That's as far as you go, murderer." And Bullock calls Batman the murderer. And you just, as a grown up now thinking about it,
yeah,
you're like, Batman, he's got a child army. He does have these youngsters. They do go out of their own accord. But like, Gordon blames someone who he considers to be a close ally.
Yeah, a friend, in fact. Friend
for the death of his daughter. Because, and we know that this is obviously Batgirl's worst fear, that she would die and Gordon wouldn't know that she'd been lying. Batman had been lying for how many years she's been Batgirl.
Yeah, it's heavy stuff. I mean, the psychology for a 20-minute family cartoon that aired on a Saturday morning is mind-boggling. And that brings me to my second takeaway, the fact that you think it's a Scarecrow episode. So we know that at some point that's going to be the main factor. That's going to be what's happening here. This isn't real. This is one of Scarecrow's fear toxin effects on one of the team. But it's not Batman. It's Barbara. It's her fear. And that was so cool. The way the writing team on this show does focus and shine a light on every character is, it's brilliant, isn't it?
So the thing I mentioned earlier that I was going to go back to, when I was watching it most recently, I was like, is this the only episode that is not like quote unquote a dream or a hallucination? But then I thought the other one, Perchance to Dream.
Yeah, classic.
Mad Hatter, who's in this episode for a little cameo, which I think is just a little nod in that direction. Yep,
totally.
Perchance to Dream, which is Batman's, obviously, his fantasy that he can't face.
Mm-hmm.
This is Barbara's worst fear, like all of her allies on the run or in jail or at each other's throats, her father and her father figure in Batman.
Totally. And again, Tara Strong, amazing human being, fantastic actor. When she wakes up, I didn't expect that huge, loving, fatherly hug she gives Batman to see he's alive, and his surprise that was her worst nightmare.
Yeah, he asks, "Is that what you saw?" Like, and you think about it. Because I imagine the Bat family are not big huggers with Bruce.
Yeah, absolutely. World's most okay dad.
It takes the majority of the hugs, but just to get to that level and know that she's awake, she's back, and gives him this huge bear hug, like.
So good. So good. Like I say, mate, you did not oversell this episode at all. It was superb. It's definitely in my upper echelons of this series. And again, I've yet to see an episode of this show I haven't liked or loved. So unreal. Totally unreal.
You saw this, Matt, in my basement, right?
Yeah, but that's still good. Come on, it's better than Superman 4 and Batman and Robin. Come on. And anything that involves kids hero worshipping Batman, I can deal.
I'm just joking. I love them all too. Yeah,
absolutely. And well, that hopefully means that this isn't the last time we'll have you on the show. And we're planning something fairly big for the 100. So maybe it'll be a multiple host episode. Still working out ideas, but obviously I'll run that by you as well. But thanks so much for coming on, man.
Lovely to be here. Lovely to talk to someone on the same nerdy level.
There aren't many of us. But when it comes to Batman, you are the man. And on that note, let's tell our viewers and listeners exactly where they can find more of the amazing James Attias.
Well, I write a whole bunch of reviews on Dark Knight News.
Do you?
So check those out. Name James Attias and the handle James Attias DC27.
Wonder what that could allude to. That makes no sense to me. DC27. Maybe you're a Batman fan. I don't know. And hopefully you'll be hearing your dulcet tones and seeing you on more shows coming up. As for myself, everyone knows. They hear it every week. At lstevo, el_steevo on Twitter. Just search Steve J. Ray or Fantastic Universes on Google. But listen to DC Comics News podcast. Listen to the I Am The Night podcast. Available everywhere you get them. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. You name it, we're there. And we had a brilliant result on the Good Pods reviews. Number one and for DC Comics and for Batman podcast. So thank you to all our listeners and viewers for that wonderful award. Catch us, Dark Knight News, DC Comics News, and Fantastic News all across the internet and on Twitter at DC Comics News, at DK Newscom, at Fan Universes, wherever you may be. But until you do, hey, this is James Attias. He is the Night. Together, we are the Night. And this has been the I Am the Night podcast.
So read more comics
and watch more
Batman.